Good morning, I'm Paul, host of the New P&L podcast and founder of the New P&L Brand Purpose Institute, where we work with business leaders, employees and entrepreneurs just like you, and we empower them to build brands with purpose on purpose. So if you have a question about how to build more engaged, creative, collaborative cultures and leaders, we'd love to chat. Just get in touch at principlesandleadership.com. This week on the New P&L To The Point, our shout out goes out to Switzerland, another one of the nearly 90 countries the New P&L is now listened to in. A massive thank you to all of our Swiss listeners for your ongoing support and your belief in our global movement for more principled leadership and more purpose-led business. And if you'd like to keep it growing, I encourage you to send a link or a recommendation to your colleagues, your managers, your business networks right across Switzerland. Let's keep the global movement for a new P&L growing. This week on the New P&L To The Point, we are exploring a point raised in last week's discussion with the phenomenal Juliette Marie Somerset, CEO and Managing Partner at Somerset Capital in Silicon Valley, and Board Director, Mentor and Advisor to multiple tech startups and tech hubs and accelerators right across the globe. And in the middle of our conversation with Juliette Marie when discussing leadership in the tech ecosystem, she stated that from her perspective, the most inspiring leaders in the tech sector are those who are the most collaborative, those who are team players and try to ensure that it is never, or at least very rarely, about them, but rather it is all about the team. And it is around this point, collaboration and collaborative leaders, that I'd like to discuss today. And I'm going to start discussing this point by saying this first. I feel a little bit at the moment that the call for more collaborative leaders is at risk of falling into the same category as those other ubiquitous leader phrases we see everywhere at the moment. The call for more vulnerable leaders, the call for more authentic leaders, for example. And some business people I speak to, some listeners of this podcast, and some colleagues I know from across the business world are starting to yawn when they hear these phrases. Not because they don't believe in the need for more collaborative, authentic, and vulnerable leadership. Of course they do. Most people, the overwhelming majority of business people, I think, do believe all of these characteristics are critical for the future of leadership and business. I mean, who wouldn't want more collaboration, vulnerability, and authenticity? However, the yawns are coming with increasing frequency because, at least in my view, because there are lots of shout-outs and clarion calls for the need for these characteristics, but so often much less coherence and clarity around what actually defines a vulnerable leader, an authentic leader, or a collaborative leader. And as with so many things today, once ambiguity creeps in as a result of something being a catchphrase or a soundbite with no more depth, then what follows that ambiguity is skepticism and cynicism, both of which eventually cloud perceptions so that when an individual is actually presented with a definitive view or a concise analysis of what collaborative or vulnerable or authentic leadership is, it's often considered through such a thick lens of skepticism that even a great definition loses its worth. So today, what I would like to do is offer my opinion as to what defines a collaborative leader. Based on both my own experience as an entrepreneur over many years and my conversations with nearly 200 business leaders and entrepreneurs and thought leaders on the New P&L. And my opinion is this: I believe there is sometimes a fundamental misconception around what constitutes collaboration in business, especially when senior leaders are involved. And what is the misconception? Well, it is this. Some leaders believe they are collaborating when in reality they are delegating. Now, of course, the nature of leadership means that there are many occasions, operationally and strategically, when you need to delegate, but it's not these I'm speaking about today. I am, however, thinking about those many, many instances in business, let's say strategic planning, go-to-market strategy development, product innovations, marketing campaigns, and so on, where teams are brought together to collaborate and work together on a plan, a vision, a campaign, an innovation, or whatever. And invariably, what happens is the most senior leader in that room, whatever level they happen to be, ends up dominating, taking over, and then consciously or subconsciously delegating, even if they are not the most qualified person on that subject or the initiative in that room. And if we are honest with ourselves, we can probably all think of instances, most likely even very recent instances, where by virtue of us being the most senior person in that room, we have taken over or dominated the conversation, and in the process, move that meeting from one of collaboration to one of delegation. And this is where the issue gets slightly more complex or complicated, because some of the delegation that occurs is not done out of a power trip or status-driven ego, but due to a desire to ensure things get done in that meeting, that it has outcomes, KPIs, deliverables, or any of the other business bingo phrases you want to use. But the irony is that the result of that desire and delegation is so often quite the opposite to what is hoped will be achieved by it in the first place. Because what the unwanted takeover and delegation leads to is the disempowerment and disengagement of the rest of the members of that team or those in the room, because they then believe that their ideas, their authority, their opinions have once again been usurped or replaced by the leader who thinks that they are collaborating, but they're really just delegating. On the other hand, true collaborative leadership in this situation can often mean consciously and actively relinquishing the leadership element of that phrase, being a true leader by allowing someone else the space to lead on that occasion, and you simply contributing to the conversation and the ideas as a genuine collaborator, not a leader in that moment. And also critically, when you collaborate, you have to accept that you might not have the best idea in the room at that time, or even close to the best idea in that room, but you still have to agree, to help, to work on, to trust, and deliver someone else's idea. And this can be a tremendous challenge for some leaders who are more used to delegating their ideas for implementation rather than collaborating on someone else's idea that they might not wholly agree with, but they have to trust in the expertise, the experience, and the creativity of another individual or group of individuals. And all of this can be hard for someone who spends their whole day delegating as part of their role, someone for whom delegation has become the natural default position. Because in their mind, they believe they are actually actively collaborating by delegating. So it takes a conscious effort as a leader, a real and consistent conscious effort each time you're in an environment that needs collaboration, a conscious effort to question oneself as a leader in that moment, in that meeting or that planning session, and ask with a genuine sense of self-awareness, in my actions and my words right now, in the way I am communicating with the team, am I collaborating? In other words, engaging in the process and not trying to lead it. Am I trusting the others in the room rather than trying to direct them? And am I embracing the ideas put forward rather than trying to force my ideas upon the group? And being able to ask yourself these questions and then ask them of yourself from the perspective of that account executive in the room or that R&D manager or that commercial executive will help you to assess in that moment if your contribution is based on collaboration or delegation. And just on that point, collaborating does not mean that you as a leader do not put forward ideas. Clearly, that's not the case. But it's rather that the ideas that you put forward are weighed evenly with all of the other ideas, all the other approaches and opinions, that there is a balance to be had and understood. In a collaborative environment, the contribution of ideas and creativity is welcome, but the forcing of them by a leader is not. And with this, as we come to the end of the episode, we find ourselves looping right back to the point made at the start of it, that the best leaders, the most inspiring leaders, are the most genuinely collaborative leaders. Because employees are not only inspired by a visionary leader, they are equally inspired by a leader who has the humility and the confidence to know that they don't have all the answers to deliver on that vision. And they know that they need to empower and engage and actively collaborate with employees who in turn want to be part of this vision, part of creating the vision, and are inspired by a leader who sees the value in their ideas, the contribution of their ideas to the vision. And then as a result, they feel part of that vision and they want it to succeed themselves, because that vision has also become their vision. And that is the ultimate benefit of a collaborative leader, a unified, inspired, and powerful team who believes in the leader and who believes in themselves. Thank you so much for listening to the new P&L To The Point today. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, I encourage you to come back next week when we will be speaking to Sue Fennessy, CEO and founder of ethical social media platform WeR8. For those of you in the UK, you will have seen a very high-profile media campaign for WeR8 recently on television, radio, and online. And I explore with Sue why she's established this ethical social media platform, what the principles are behind it, and where she sees the future for the social media industry. It's a fascinating conversation with Sue, so I encourage you to pop back next week and listen to it. So finally, I'm Paul, host of the New P&L. Thank you once again for listening, and have a great day.